This episode of TMS is brought to you by HelloFresh.com. HelloFresh.com, get real recipes from actual chefs. They put these things together every week. Real chefs, like professionals. It's an amazing list of food, too. If you go to HelloFresh.com right now, you can see what this week's got to offer, what next week has to offer. Decide what you like and have that sent to your door in farm fresh readiness. Then all you got to do is make it. 30 minutes or less and you're all set. You'll be the hero of the day. Let's save you some money. 50% off for all first-time orders if you use the code MORNINGSTREAM at checkout. That's MORNINGSTREAM at checkout at HelloFresh.com. Coming up on TMS, we get totally legit emails.
Pipe cleaner follow-up.
Blade Runner sequel gets Harrison Ford.
SNL and other stuff streaming soon.
The normal wiener is now known.
China also likes SNL.
Recommendals.
Tom's SNL tech time.
Your emails and more on this episode of SNL.
You know, my friends, all the way from Portland, Oregon, way back to Portland, Maine, this sort of thing goes on all the time in grocery stores. Yeah? The grocery clerk goes to a lot of work building a great, big, beautiful display of Skippy peanut butter. And what happens? Well, housewives and shoppers come in, and they take a jar off here and a jar off there. And before long, the grocery clerk has to get busy and build up the display all over again. But even though he goes home kind of weary and tired at night, you think he cares about that?
Mm-mm. He's really been there.
The Morning Stream, because knowing is half the battle.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I see you all there. Good morning. It's the Morning Stream for Wednesday, March 4th, 2015. I'm Scott. That's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Yes. Hello, Scott.
Hey, man.
A little SNL heavy on today's show, are we?
Yeah. At least two articles we got are SNL things. The one about China is really weird. So we'll get to that in a bit.
That's funny. And my recommendal almost was going to be SNL related.
Ooh.
So we'll talk about that a little bit later, too.
Yeah. Nicole will be here for recommendals. Tom will be here, of course, for his two cents on the world of
tech. He's going to recommend some tech.
Tech-a-mentals. Yeah, tech-a-mentals.
Why don't we call it recommendal tech-a-mental?
Why not? Why don't we call the whole, let's do it all week, though. Let's say Steven Schleichamentals and Verona-mentals.
Perfect.
What else? Jury mentals. Wendy mentals.
They're mental.
They're mentals. I like it. See, it works across the board. Hey, everyone. It's us. We're back. And we begin the show, as we often do, with some thoughts. Before I forget, though, I want to make a quick recommendation since it's Recommentals Day.
Sure.
I was on the treadmill yesterday and consumed an episode of Peaky Blinders. On
Blinders.
Netflix. That it's a so Netflix original. You've probably seen it pop up as a recommendation or something. It says it's Netflix original, but Brian, it's one of those, hey, we bought this from people who made it in Britain.
Gotcha.
And called it our own. So that's kind of what it is, I think. I don't think Netflix commissioned this in the way that they did. They would, like, you know, House of Cards or Orange is the New Black. I don't think that's how they did this one. I think this one was made and was going to be made no matter what. BBC was going to run it, and then Netflix just stepped in and said, we have lots of money. Can we put our name at the top of that and say it's original? And they said yes. Anyway, it's really good. It's, you know, Cillian Murphy, Irish actor. Yeah. You know,
I always thought it was Cillian. Or Cillian?
Cillian is how I believe it is pronounced, I think.
He's got piercing eyes is what he's got.
How do you pronounce
Cillian? I bet it is Cillian now that you say that.
I'm going to find out the hard way. Here it is, how to pronounce it on YouTube. We did this yesterday too. These are always fun.
He was the Mark in Inception.
Cillian.
So Cillian. Cillian. Okay. All right.
He was, and he was also
Scarecrow.
Scarecrow in the Batmans.
Right. Sorry, I guess he was in two Batmans because he made a little cameo. Actually, he was in all three Batmans.
Yeah, I want to say he did all. Yeah, because the first one, he was the major villain in the first
right.
one.
Right. Second one, you see him at the beginning. The third one, he's in the courtroom.
Well, not quite major and begins, I guess. I guess it was him. It was split between him and
Raj Al Ghul,
yeah. But anyway, he's great. And if you ever see, there's a movie about an airplane with Rachel McAdams and him that I forget the name of. Red Eye, I think it is.
Okay.
He's great in Red Eye. Plays like a terrorist on the plane. That's kind of a spoiler. But anyway, that's that one. And then
I'm guessing that when you first see him, you have no idea that he's a terrorist.
Right. You see his wiener in 28 Days Later, because he's the star of 28 Days Later.
Right.
Not
right.
weeks, but days. Days is where they show you his wiener at the beginning. Anyway.
Well, weeks, as the other guy, has the guy who plays Rumpelstiltskin on Once Upon a Time, who's also really good.
Yeah, you don't want to see his wiener, though.
You don't want to see. You don't really want to see either.
No, not his wiener. Anyway, he's great. I love Cillian Murphy. Always have enjoyed his work. And he's the star of this, and he plays the head of a street gang / crime family / you know, kind of mobster family in Belfast back in like 1920. And it's the whole period piece thing that I love in the first place. Like anytime you make that, I'm pretty much in. But throw in like really good acting and like awesome characters and a really compelling story and Sam Neill, like you've never quite seen him before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's awesome. I like it a lot. Two seasons are on Netflix. Totally worth seeing. We're now like him and I got hooked, and after the treadmill, we ended up watching like three more of these. So we're like four or five episodes in or something.
Wow.
And it's really good.
Cool. I'll have to check it out. He's, you know, Cillian Murphy's got kind of that, he's got the thing that James Spader had in the 80s, which was kind of the pretty boy, you know, looks like he can play characters that look like they come from money, but that they have little regard for human life.
Steely-eyed, dead eyes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I, you know.
For sure.
I'd just as soon, you know, walk all over you to get where I need to go,
yeah,
kind of thing.
And for a while, they're kind of ageless. Like, he doesn't seem to be aging, just like what's his name didn't used to seem to. Although now you watch him on, what's that new one, Blacklist? And he's
Blacklist.
He's definitely aging. he's definitely getting older, for sure.
Well, he's got a metal infrastructure. If there's anything that we've learned from the Age of Ultron previews, is that beneath that skin, James Spader is all machine.
Yeah. There's one thing I always remember him telling me, though. I asked him, I said, so are there strings on you? And he said,
there are no strings on me.
All right. Geez. Over dramatic.
Wow.
Anyway, it's great. You should watch it. It's fun. And here's one part people have a hard time getting past with that show. I read this on the reviews and stuff. Once you get past it, it's fine. But it's like watching Snatch. The accents are thick.
Yeah.
Like thick Irish.
But you don't do the thing Nicole does, or that I've done on occasion, which is throw on the subtitles to help understand. No,
I don't mind it. I get used to it. I think, you know what? Honestly,
you get enough of it. Yeah.
Well, I honestly believe that being raised in a house with a native Korean brother who spoke terrible broken English while we were young, I actually think that helped me in this way, because I've got an ear for it, and it's not just for Asian languages or for Korean specifically. I can hear through a lot of accents, no problem. And my wife will like go, no, what did he say? And I'm like, no, he said this, he said that, or whatever. I used to kind of translate for my brother, even though he wasn't talking in Korean. He was talking in English, but it was so broken and shitty that I would translate for people, and then they would understand. So there's that.
you had to be the translator.
Point being, I could understand it, though. I could hear it. So anyway, doesn't bother me. No subtitles for me, damn it.
Okay.
What else here? So that's good. Here's the other thing. I got an email, and I think it's totally legit. This must be completely 100% legit, and I just want to share it with the audience to see if they can also sense the legitimacy of this email. I got this from twitter.com/verifiedhelp@gmail.com.
Oh, okay. That seems like a... because you know Twitter uses Gmail.
Yeah.
Because they're a method of communication.
Sure. They don't have corporate mail with twitter.com at the end.
No.
It's all like this. And here's the email that I received. And I'm going to do it in the cadence and punctuation that has been provided here. It goes like this, Brian. Hi, we have good news. We like to verify your Twitter account. For Twitter verification, email us back. Thank you, Twitter. Totally sounds legit. Now, I know that spam and like phishing schemes and stuff are all a numbers game, and it's all about volume, because eventually enough people will fall for your crap that it made it worth it and you make whatever money they make. But who's falling for this one?
Oh, man. Hopefully nobody. There have been some pretty close ones, though, right? Like there's a Gmail one that that actually looks like it comes from Google.
Mm-hmm.
That
they even spoof the from and all that, so it looks like it's from a legit source, sure. This one's not even trying, though. This isn't even like...
No, not even effort. It's like, let's just really grab the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah. And it's clearly not from, you know, it's not from the normally, we assume, English-speaking Twitter organization.
I don't know. I mean, we'd like to verify your Twitter account for Twitter verification. You know, that...
Yeah, I guess.
Nothing redundant about that sentence.
Yeah, or that it runs on with, we'd like to verify your Twitter account for Twitter verification, email us back without any pause.
There's no punctuation.
Or sure. Break or anything. Or that they say, thank you, Twitter, and not thank Twitter. You from Twitter.
Thank you, Easter Bunny.
Mark, Mark. Oh my gosh, that was drilled into us as kids. It must have been.
Yeah, it was. That and, hey, Mickey, come over for a party.
Oh my gosh, that was bad. It's funny how some of those stuck. Like, there's the mid-break today. I have a commercial from the 80s that if it doesn't immediately evoke all that stuff with you, I'll be shocked.
Ooh, I can't wait. Yeah. I love that kind of stuff.
I'll be shocked because it's gonna tickle all your nostalgia beans, whatever that means. we got a follow-up from a listener about pipe cleaners. We talked about those a little bit yesterday, how I thought the little pipe cleaner craft things, you know, that you make little crafts with it, those were used to clean pipes. And you had said, no, like pipes like you smoke.
Smoking pipes.
Yeah, like the one that Sam Neill smokes in Peaky Blinders.
Right. Not the ones that people use that go...
Yeah, not the... No, not that.
Not glass pipes.
Mm-mm. Those are the good pipes.
What, really?
I don't know. I've never smoked one of those.
Jesse Pinkman might use one of these, a pipe cleaner, to clean out his pipe.
Oh, and by the way, quick PSA. We got your picture, everybody, that you sent.
Smoke weed every day.
With the picture on the thing in Missoula, Montana with the said smoke. Oh, we got it.
The highway sign. I love that.
Oh, man.
Via Twitter just constantly. There were two of them, though. There was one that said smoke weed every day, and there's another one that says smoke weed every day.
Every day. That one was put up by actual weed smokers.
Right, exactly. That's the better of the two.
It's funny, though, because we got the email just clogged with these. Like, just
that's funny.
100 of them when I went and checked them yesterday. I was like, what is with all these? And
fantastic. And let that be your quick reminder to vote we every day.
Hey, yeah. It's over there at podcastawards.com.
Vote stream every day. Just it fits so much better, but it doesn't encapsulate everything. Vote stream every day.
Yeah, it's only for us. It only works for us. But you want to
vote. And everybody else, too.
You want to vote for the extended Frog Pants family. That's what we want you to do at podcastawards.com. You can vote once a day, every day, for the shows you want to see win. And hopefully Dennis Miller will hand us some kind of weird trophies in Vegas in April.
Right. If he does, I swear I'm going to go, thanks, cha-cha.
Dude. I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, if I'm handed a trophy for, let's say, the instance or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say to Dennis Miller. Like, what do you say to that guy? Do you go...
Say, thanks, big fan.
Thanks, big fan. Love you on SNL.
It would be,
you're psycho.
Yeah,
now.
But it would be... So alphabetically, comedy would come first. So we'd be up there for TMS. You know, if it's anything like last year, and we make, you know, four trips up to the stage.
Yeah. Then it should be us. If it's us, we'll go up there and get that one.
We'll go up and get the comedy and we'll say...
And we'll know the tone of things right then. Like, we'll know how this is going to go down.
Sure.
Exactly. We'll be the guinea pigs for the rest of the room so they know what they're up against. If Dennis Miller's a real jackass or if he slaps your butt on the way down or whatever he's going to do, he'll do it with us first.
There was a third. By the way, there was a third road sign that got modified. Look at Thorin's most recent link.
We'll take a look here in the chat room. Thorin. Vote Frog Pants every day. Now that's Photoshop, right? It's the same picture.
I think so.
Yeah.
Especially because of the fact that Frog Pants has 9 letters that don't match up with the 8 letters underneath it.
Yeah, they don't. Those aren't variable sizes, guys. Those letters stay the same, but that's awesome.
I love that art, by the way.
Yeah, that's good. I'm going to put that up. I'm going to put that up. That's how we'll remind people today on Twitter to vote and stuff. We'll use that.
Sure.
Anyway, pipe cleaner, follow up on the pipe cleaners. Nora wrote in. She says, Len's taking care of the kids, so here's my email. Just kidding. It's not that Nora. I'm listening to Tuesday's show, and I had to pause to send this email. I have on several occasions woken up, usually in the middle of the night, positive I had a spider on or near my face. Once there was a huge spider on my pillow, once it was coming down from the ceiling to land square in my face, every time this happened, I have freaked out, screaming and waking up the entire house. There was never a spider there. This did not stop me from checking my entire bed before getting into it every night. Because there's a spider story, right?
To match with mine. I'll quickly interject with a spider story similar.
Yeah.
Same thing happens to me. I used to have really weird night hallucinations like that where I think that, oh my God, there's a spider landing in the bed. Mm. To the point where one time Tina and I are sleeping and I wake up with one of these hallucinations. Oh my God, there's a spider. And I say, Tina, wake up. Oh my God, the spider, don't move. Just like that, right?
Oh, dude. That
and sucks. Then apparently I went right back to sleep.
Oh my gosh. I'm starting to feel a little willy right now with spider talk. But anyway, there it is, spiders. Then he says, also, until hearing the podcast, I've also thought and have always thought that pipe cleaners were used for plumbing pipes. I just thought they evolved into little colorful crafty items, but they were originally huge industrial tools.
Oh, that'd be
well,
awesome.
Back to the show. So there's someone else who agrees with me. Pipe cleaners thought to be pipe, you know, pipe-ass pipe cleaners.
Wouldn't that be awesome to, like, have a big pipe cleaner, like a big, it's like a, what do they call those funoodles that you use at pools, but it's like a big pipe cleaner that bends and stays in the shape you want.
Yeah, and it's all furry or has all the little scrapers
yes.
on it.
Yes, oh,
yeah.
That'd be awesome.
That'd clean your toilet.
Yeah.
For sure.
Clean a lot of stuff with that. Clean right. those ceiling fans, those hard-to-reach places.
Origin of pipe cleaners. Okay, I'm just going to just check.
All right.
Just going to check. Pipe cleaner.
You don't believe me, do you?
No, I do. I actually do believe you, but I'm... Oh, yeah. So here it is. You're absolutely right. Pipe cleaner and chenille stem, whatever that means, chenille stem, is a type of brush originally intended for removing moisture and residue from a smoking pipe. Mm-hmm. Besides that, they are used for cleaning out small bores or tight places, like your vajayjay. Let's see. I'm trying to find another one here. Yeah, it's got nothing to do. All these years, I had no freaking idea. Every once in a while on the show, we learn something so new, it freaks me out. Gives me the willies. But there's the one. All right. Well, thank you, Nora, for writing in and confirming with me that I wasn't that crazy in the first place. All right. Let's call Daryl. You know the drill, Brian. Daryl time. Yes.
Yes. Daryl time.
Daryl time. Daryl time. All right. Where's his thing? Where's his deal? Right here. It is Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by...
Brought to you by Coverville. We're on today's show. Well, let me ask you a question here. The Supremes, yeah. The Dixie Cups, yeah. Destiny's Child, Bananarama. Mm. What do these bands all have in common?
80s era, early 90s era stuff.
That is incorrect. Oh. Some of them were from the 70s and 60s. But they are all women bands, like girl groups, as the kids call them these
days.
So you
mean the obvious thing that I should have totally figured out.
The obvious thing that you should have gotten, yes.
Gotcha, okay.
This is, according to Billboard magazine, this is Girl Group Week 2015. Mm. So Billboard is, they've got their list of the 20 biggest girl group songs of all time based on their ranking and performance on the Billboard Hot 100. Covers today of a lot of those songs is what I'm getting at on Coverville at 2 p.m. Mountain Time, coverville.com/live to watch it and listen live.
That sounds lovely. Daryl, are you there?
Oh, yes.
Okay. I heard some breathing. I figured it was you. Hopper. Remember Hopper?
Hopper, yeah.
All right. So Daryl's the Trek nerd. Comes on the show, answers hard trivia questions about Star Trek. And today is just a standard-ass question. It's like a straight-up four-possibility answer kind of question. Nothing weird. No clips to play ahead of time. No trickery. It's just a question.
So makes me nervous.
Well, I'm going to lay it at your feet like the Roman god you are, and here it goes. In the Next Generation episode, Face of the Enemy, Deanna My Body Troy... is disguised as a Romulan officer. Oh, I don't remember liking these episodes very much.
No, I hate it. It was like a two-parter, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't like those. Spock was involved somehow, though, right?
No, was
not
he?
Not in that one.
Not in that one?
It was
okay.
Just Riker and Deanna going to...
I can't remember which one Spock was involved. I think Spock was in the one where What's-Her-Blonde came back as a Romulan leader person that was like some genetic descendant.
Yeah.
And then Spock
Tasha
was, and Spock was infiltrating or something, and they had Leonard Nimoy on there. Anyway, so she's as this officer in order to help some high-ranking Romulans.
they use lots of eggs.
Omelettons. they're defecting to the Federation. They are headed to the Caleb sector. It's just like a little kid's name, Caleb.
Mm-hmm. Caleb sector. Caleb sector. Was named after somebody.
Probably.
Like a production manager's son or something.
Riker's illegitimate child or something. they are headed to the Caleb sector to meet with a freighter. And what kind of freighter are they going to go meet? So this is the freighter type. Okay? Here you go. A, Teldarian. B, Corvalon. Corvalon, I guess. C, Echocyan.
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 Yeah. That's not that. That's the Hitler planet one.
Is it?
Oh, really?
Oh, weird. Yeah. Or finally, Markalian, which is Markalian.
Mark. He was an alien.
Yeah, Mark. Yes. He was an alien, sure. So there you go. Teldarian, Corvalon, Echocyan, or Echocyan, whatever, and Markalian. I hate that one. That one bugs me. It's not reading right in my head. All right. So, Daryl, there's your chances, or there's your options. There's your thing. You're going to have to think about that real hard. And while you do...
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
All right. We still have a few of these Japanese things left. In fact, I think we're kind of at the dregs here. My kids ate the rest of the Kit Kats like buttheads. So they're gone. I don't have those now. But Daryl, in here is... There's a candy bar that is clearly not Kit Kats, because it says it's not a Kit Kat.
It's something from the Nicole box.
And there are also...
I'm going to rephrase that. I'm going to eat something from the box that Nicole sent us.
Yeah, can you... yes, thank you for... Oof. There's also a little package with like a little red ball in it. Do you see that, Daryl? Yeah, it's like a single see-through little cellophane pouch. And inside
is
like a dark red ball. Like dark matter.
Like it looks like a cherry with the stem picked off.
Oh, yeah, it kind of does. Well, you know what? I'll bet that's what this is. It's some kind of candied cherry. Well, it doesn't say, and it's in an unmarked bag, so that's always good. So let's try that.
Okay.
Let's try the most hard-to-tell-what-it-is thing in here. Ooh. Ooh, it's soft.
I'm not going to eat this, but I'm going to put them on because they're wax lips.
Ooh. It smells like a rotten cherry.
No, it smells like a combination of a fruit roll-up or a little stinky six-year-old hands. Do you know what I mean? Like when they've been all sour and gross because they've been wiping their face all day and like digging in the dirt and... Oh, now I've ruined it.
It feels like it has real like peach skin on it.
Yeah, like a little cherry peach. Mine's got a little pucker in the back. I don't like that. All right, well, let's give it a try. You ready?
Oh, I guess.
All right.
It's like a raw cherry.
Yep. 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 We're done with that. Lips. Oh, shit. That's really bad.
Sounds like I'm going to win here.
Yep.
I'm just completely puzzled by what this is.
No, that tastes bad. That's like a little vomit ball.
It is a cherry. It's an actual cherry, but it's like they picked it green and put it in a wrapper.
I think it's been like pickled or something.
What is that?
Planters
peanut bar from the box from Nicole. This is delicious.
That's really good, you bastard.
So good. Oh, no.
My taste buds must be getting old. It took like 10 seconds for the flavor to reach my brain.
No, it reached mine right away and said, hey, want to have some, you want to have a little ball taste like vomit? You want that? That's what my brain said. And I said, no, I threw it away. That's gross. That is really gross.
I think yours might have been worse than mine.
It was really bad.
It was bad, but it wasn't. Okay, it was bad.
Yeah. Keep eating it. Tell me how you feel later.
Oh, no, I've stopped.
Yeah, that was. I do feel like I've tasted a greyhound, the floor of a greyhound bus is what it tastes like. It's really bad.
I think it's a fermented cherry. It's got to be.
It might be. Getting a buzz off it?
Not yet.
Probably not. All right. Well, that was fun.
Does not sound good.
Let's now. How was your peanut thing, Brian?
It was delicious. I also had a pair of wax lips.
No. Yeah.
You don't eat wax lips. I mean, they say that you're supposed to like chew on them.
Yeah. I never could do that. I always thought it was too weird.
Well, I can wear them.
Let's see. Well, that's good. Who's that MTV starlet pregnant?
Sandra Bernhardt?
No. wrong decade. She's a newer. She's like in the news a lot as being kind of a gross person now. I can't remember her name. But you look like her after her recent lip surgery. That's gnarly. All right, Daryl,
that would be.
Let's get back to it. You got a this day in Trek thing for us?
Oh, yes, I do. What do I have? On this day in 1998, there were two episodes filming at the same time. It was the fourth day of filming on the DS9 episode Valiant and also the fourth day of filming on the Voyager episode Hope and Fear.
Oh, weird. Well, they're separate, but were they separate productions? I mean, they weren't. It's not like they were filming on the same set or whatever, right?
No, they were different studio. Well, same studio, different.
Different locations, like different production crews and all that.
Yeah, different buildings.
Because that would have been really impressive if you were going to tell me the director's like, cut. All right, I got to go talk to the Voyager people. I'll be right back. Okay, Janeway, pick up the thing. All right, cut. And then back to the DS9 people. Like, that would be something. Instead, this is just like they were making two things at the same time.
Let me wind up this camera. Okay, that one's run out. I got to go back over here and wind up this one.
Yeah, the old wind-up cameras of the 90s. They were hot. Okay, good job. That's fun. I like trivia like this. Let's get back to your question. You got this question here. It's looming. It's looking you right in the face. It's about which of the freighters or what kind of freighter this thing was. What is it, a Tel'Darian, a Corvallian, that third one, or Markalian?
Well, the only... Let's see. There's only two that even sound familiar, and it's not the first one or the last one. The Ecosian one was from the Hitler episode of TOS. Mm. So that leaves Corvallian. So that's what I'll have to pick.
You're going to go with Corvallian? It sounds familiar.
Elimination.
Yeah, I like it.
It just sounds like it's the only thing I recognize.
Either of you play the game Homeworld? Back when it was new in like the late 90s, by chance.
It's not the Abe's Odyssey game, is it?
No. Homeworld, it's an outer space like strategy game, but it's set in like deep space and you're creating ships and all that.
I guess that was Oddworld is the one I was thinking of.
Oh, Oddworld's so good.
It was really, really good, yeah.
That's out remastered, isn't it? I think it's on various platforms. I wonder if I want to play that again. Like, part of me has real nostalgic for that game, but part of me doesn't want to do it over again.
Part of me remembers how freaking difficult some of those levels were.
Yeah. Those little guys, or whatever they were.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. All right. Anyway, all these names that I read off to Daryl, my point was, remind me of those Homeworld ships. You're always building, like, corvettes and stuff.
Right.
Pretty awesome. That game's great. All right. Anyway, let's find out if Daryl is correct about his potential answer, which he says is B, Corvallian.
Congratulations.
Oh.
You're a winner.
He got it right. What did he get right?
What?
He got this one right. They're going to meet with a Corvallian freighter. Deanna is told to take cargo containers from the Romulan ship and get them onto the freighter and head back to Starfleet headquarters. Here's a clip proving that's all true. Here you go.
What is your plan?
When we reach the Caleb sector, we will rendezvous with a Corvallian freighter. You will take these containers into their ship and accompany them back to Starfleet headquarters.
The Corvallians are mercenaries. Do they know what's in these containers?
No. They were hired simply to take you to Federation space.
That guy's, like, not a good actor. I'll just put that out there. Did not enjoy his performance.
No.
Daryl, good job. You did it. Way to go. He's the Trek nerd on Twitter. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and at the Grumpy Cast. All right, Daryl, what do you got for us? You got a little Shatner versus Nimoy business again?
Why, yes, I do. Mm. And, William Shatner or Leonard Nimoy.
I do like these. Okay, go.
I do, too.
The Brain Eaters.
The Brain Eaters.
The Brain Eaters. Give us the IMDb description, only because I think it's got to sound fantastic.
Yeah, if we can always make this call of that description, I'm down with that.
Parasites from the center of the Earth have infiltrated the town, taking control of the authorities and workers, making communication with the outside world impossible, and leaving the responsibility of stopping the invasion up to Powers and a small group of free individuals.
So the character by the name of Powers.
Mm-hmm. And also no punctuation. It's like a spam email.
The Chinese are writing all the IMDb descriptions now. All right, here's the question. We can't ever ask, like, what year it came out, can we? That's not one of the rules.
Well, I did it on the first couple.
Okay, what year was this thing?
1958.
Okay, not that that helps.
It probably doesn't help. You probably thought that anyway.
Yeah, it didn't really help. I don't know. He's done so many Shatners in a row. Do you think this has got to be a Nimoy eventually? I don't know, Brian.
Yeah. So you're leaning more towards Nimoy. Yeah. We haven't had we did have a Nimoy, didn't we?
Did we? I thought it's all been Shatner.
No. Yeah, there was a first one.
Oh, there first was? One was Nimoy. Okay. But this feels more like a Nimoy.
Yeah, it does to me too. I don't know. It feels like both of them. They both had kind of crappy careers back then. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll say Nimoy because who the hell knows?
And you are right.
Boy, it really fooled me there for a minute.
Roy.
I was on the edge of my seat going, I think he's going to say wrong. But no, he turned it around, Brian.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
That was amazing. All right, let's get into the news. We got some stuff. There's things going on in the world.
Yeah.
Not a damn thing.
What's going on in the world? Tell me.
All right, it's official. Captain Solo, a.k.a. Harrison Ford, will make a Blade Runner sequel. He will be in it.
Nice.
Reprising his role as Rick Deckard in the sequel to Ridley Scott's 82 classic Blade Runner. This is according to Alcon Entertainment. They confirmed this on Thursday. This is yesterday, or last Thursday, I guess. Been a while.
You just make eyes. I made your eyes.
I wonder if they'll bring back, what's her name? Is she too crazy now? Sean
Young?
Young? She's too crazy.
She's probably just as crazy now as she was back then, but she was the only one that really could, the only other one that really could carry over.
Yeah.
I guess you could pull in Captain Adama.
Yeah, or Rugger.
Admiral Adama.
Rugger Hauer could come back, couldn't he? Well, no, he died. Didn't
he dies.
Oh, yeah. Spoiler.
Well, it's been a while.
It's been
40 years.
40 years, yeah. Has it been? Oh, my gosh. 82?
No, I'm sorry, 30 years.
30 years. 32 years.
32 years, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's in the works. Has been for a while now. Shoots begin next summer. And nobody knows if Scott will be directing. Actually, the word is he will not be directing. So Ridley Scott not directing the sequel. I don't know if you can ask a guy to, like, hey, dude, make a sequel 30 years later.
Right.
Now, you might be able to say, you could say, well, Prometheus is kind of, sort of an alien movie. Not really, though. It's not the same.
Well,
it's a prequel, and it's not even really a prequel. It kind of is. It's kind of shitty. You know what I mean?
I don't know. Well, I mean, that was the big issue, was it just wasn't as good as Alien, but he still did it. Yeah. What about, isn't Roger Miller somehow involved with the new Mad Max?
He's directing it.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, he's making it. That's true. But then again, he wrote, directed, and not Roger Miller, the other Miller, not right. Frank Miller. George Miller, that's
George
it.
George Miller, thank you.
George yes. Miller both wrote.
A lot of the same letters as Roger.
He wrote, directed, and produced all three of the ones before. And he's doing all that again. So in a way, this is like him pulling out his own personal baby. Whereas if you bring in Ridley Scott, it's kind of like saying, hey, that guy we hired for Blade Runner, let's hire him again. Because I don't think he had any kind of, I don't know. I don't know enough about the story. Maybe he was really personally involved with it. I don't know.
Right.
But it's been ages since I've seen that movie. I feel like I owe it to myself to watch it again.
Which one, Mad Max or Blade Runner?
Blade Runner. Actually, both. Why not both, you know?
Have your kids seen Blade Runner?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, great movie to introduce to them. I mean, yeah, there's some boobs, but...
Yeah, they're weird 82 boobs, though. You know what I mean?
Well, they're covered with scales and... Yeah,
it's an odd boob.
Snake lady.
Yeah, it's hard to... I mean, it'd be hard for me to look at the three boob prostitute in Total Recall and get too worked up about it. It's just kind
of... Right, of course.
Weird.
Yeah. No, that's a great... Tristan, I think he's seen it. Yeah, he has seen it and loved it.
Yeah, it's streaming. I should do it. Which one's streaming, I wonder? The one with the narration or the director's thing?
That's a good
thing?
Question. You don't own the Blu-ray that's got like all five versions?
No, I should.
That's a great Blu-ray to own.
Seems like a thing I should have.
Yeah. Such great. There's a lot of great production stuff on there, too.
How do you feel about the Vangelis music? Does it hold up in your mind?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I even went out. The last time I saw one, I watched it with Tristan. I said, you know what? I forgot how much I love the soundtrack, and I went out and bought the soundtrack.
Mm.
It's like, oh, this is so good.
Well, interesting. Here's who it's going to be directed by. Denis Villeneuve.
Oh, sure. That's a household name.
Yeah, you know that guy. Who helmed Prisoners and Enemy, which both starred Jake Gyllenhaal and... now wait, is that the girl that was in Batman or is that the actual Jake Gyllenhaal? Because I always forget. he just wrapped his latest film, Cicero, with, who's this? Oh, Benicio del Toro and Emily Blunt, who I like a lot and whose chin drives you crazy.
Right. He's a Quebecois. How do you pronounce that? Like it's, if you're from Quebec.
You're a Quebecois. It's not a Quebecian. Doesn't work
that
way.
A Quebecian.
Oh. That's like an alien on Star Trek. Anyway, anything with Emily Blunt, I'm in. So hopefully she'll be in this too. Ridley Scott was deeply involved. He worked with the original screenwriter Hampton Francher to conceptualize the script, which reportedly blew Ford away.
Emily Blunt could play a replicant where they messed up and screwed up the chin.
Yeah, so why
she's
not?
Like a
yeah.
Broken replicant.
Hey, could the replicants, I know there's always this theory and it's never been confirmed or denied, or, you know, it's all nebulous still, that Rick Deckard was an actual replicant the whole time.
Yeah.
Do they age? Because if Harrison Ford's coming back.
Oh, yeah. Well, he'll be, right. They're going to have to do something. I was close. It's Québécois.
Québécois, yes. He has a certain Québécois about him. Which means he's from Quebec.
Interesting, though. Yeah, exactly. Like, if he, if he ages. Well, okay, so he's one of those weird replicants that maybe can age.
Or maybe he's not a replicant after all. And that was all. Because that wasn't confirmed, right? Like, the movie doesn't say it for sure. It's hinted at.
It's very strongly hinted at.
Yeah.
I think it's hinted at more than Total Recall being a complete dream after Schwarzenegger enters the chair.
Let's see. Harrison Ford, according to the replicant, here's a note, okay? Mm-hmm. Harrison Ford, who played Deckard in the film, says that he did not think Deckard was a replicant. He also states he and the director had discussions that ended in the agreement that the character was human. So according to Harrison Ford, him and Ridley Scott agreed the character was human. While left vague, that's what they say.
I respectfully disagree, Mr. Ford. The fact that Admiral Adama knows that you dream about unicorns and makes a little unicorn origami thing tells me that you're a replicant.
All right. Maybe he is. Well, I just don't know what this... Him coming back may set all that to rest then, you know? We'll figure it out, I guess.
And if Sean Young comes back... So there's two reasons. Like, you know, you've got the two different paths that could bring Sean Young back. Mm-hmm. The director's cut, she dies.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that she won't live, basically, four years. Right. But in the theatrical version, she'll make it.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
She'll live. It says here the original Blade Runner was set in 2019, and the follow-up will be set several decades later into the future.
Okay, so...
So that means Harrison, if he ages, that would explain why he ages, but if he's a replicant, that doesn't explain that. If they're going to explain why replicants age, they have a chance to do that, I suppose. But I feel like we're ripe for a good controversial...
Exactly.
Thing about Deckard.
That'll really answer the question, right? I mean, we'll know as soon as we see a preview for this.
Yeah.
Is that, oh, okay, he's playing, you know, with makeup or whatever, only a slightly older looking version of himself. So he's a replicant that's just been weathered a little bit.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
NBC plans to bundle SNL and The Tonight Show into a new service for cord cutters. This is interesting. NBC has plans to launch a premium comedy-focused video subscription service. Comedy-focused. Pricing could be as low as $2.50 to $3.50 per month. And would be an add-on for Sling TV customers like Hulu and you know, Netflix already is. And, you know, as standalone apps and things like this. Brian, I would pay $3.50 a month for a comedy-focused streaming channel.
Right. I mean, is it only going to be... It can't only be... SNL and The Tonight Show, right?
Just,
I mean, it's going to be
being
all
added,
their comedies?
It's just a bundle of multiple things. Those two things and other stuff, potentially.
Right, but probably not like The Voice or The Blacklist or...
yeah, nothing like that.
Nothing that's drama or reality. Interesting.
Why wouldn't they
do... It seems kind of funny they would just make it strictly comedy, though.
Yeah, it's like... what's that? There's something else like this right now. Well, I guess it'd be like a sports package or something. I don't know. Having it be totally comedy focused is an interesting play, but it only works if it's super cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So $3.50 a month is something I could do.
It's almost a, you know, an afterthought, right?
Yeah.
For the price of a tall tiramisu latte at Starbucks, you can get.
Mm-hmm.
This will go well with the AMC stuff too that they're adding to Sling TV for.
Sure.
For, you know, so you get your Walking Dead, you get your Better Call Saul.
Mm-hmm. Which is really great right now.
Yes. Oh, it's so good.
So good.
Very interesting, though. It's funny that, I mean, I'm glad. I mean, I think their comedies are.
Well, look, let's say it's just those two shows, I probably won't do it.
Right.
If it's more than that, a comedy bundle with more stuff, then I probably will do it. And then maybe they're just testing this to say, oh, and then next will come the NBC drama bundle. And they'll do some kind of, you know, all of their procedurals for $350 a month or something.
I'm trying to think now. All right, what are the other NBC comedies? Because ABC has Modern Family, Fox has New Girl and Mindy Kaling thing. And
NBC has...
they had Parks and Rec. That's gone.
That's right. That's out. I could do reruns, I suppose, but that'd be dumb.
Is Mom? I mean, we don't watch that. I'm thinking the only comedy we watch on NBC is SNL.
Yeah, what's left? They had Friends. They had Seinfeld. They had The Cosby Show. They had...
I'm going to go to NBC.com. Let's see a list. See a list of their current comedies.
Yeah, what are the big
hoops?
And
see whether or not this actually is a worthwhile purchase or not. Let's see here. Shows. I love they've got initials. Okay, so A to Z. That's canceled. About a Boy, I hear, is actually pretty good.
Oh, it's all right. Kim watches that. She likes it.
Yeah. I like the movie. I like the book, and I like the movie with Hugh Grant.
It's got what's her name in it? Hugh Grant's old ex-girlfriend in it, I think.
Oh, really? Elizabeth Hurley?
Am I thinking of the right person? I might not be. You know what? I'm not. It's not the other British chick who was in Gross Point Blank and played the Tarzan.
Oh, Mindy Driver.
Mindy Driver. That's who it is.
Yeah. Allegiance. I think that's a drama, right? American Ninja Warrior. Bad Judge, Biggest Loser, Blacklist, Celebrity Apprentice, that's almost a comedy. Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, Constantine, Dateline, Days of Our Lives, Golden Globes, Grimm, Hannibal, Jay Leno's Garage, Last Call, Carson Daly.
Not funny.
Marry Me. Okay, Marry Me. There's another comedy
there. All right, okay. Well, I'll line up for
Press,
that one.
Miss Universe, Mysteries of Laura, Parenthood, that's done. Parks and Rec, that's done. The Slap. Is that a comedy? Has it been decided if that's a comedy?
I think it's been decided that it's a soon-to-be-canceled crap show.
I think that's so really, when they say we're bundling all of our comedy together, here's in theory what you're going to get.
Okay.
You're going to get SNL, The Tonight Show, About a Boy, Undateable, and Marry Me. And that's it.
That's really sad. That's really sad.
Yeah.
The
now,
reviews.
There's a Neil Patrick Harris thing coming.
These reviews are very bad, by the way. The Slap TV reviews are things like the Slap makes you want to slap every character in it. NBC's The Slap wants you to provoke, but mostly irritates. Like, people do not like that show. I predict it will be the crap soon and will not be there anymore. Anyway,
you know what? They should have made it The Slap List.
Yeah,
and have a show where for an hour James Spader just goes around slapping people.
I would watch that.
I would absolutely watch that. Yeah, I'd slap that.
I'd slap that. All right. Well, anyway, more on that as we know it. The new normal penis size has been announced.
Oh, thank goodness.
Our long national
normal
nightmare is finally over. All right. So here's the new normal. It's not even an E online. Story, but they are citing a British journal in Urology International. So E has gotten in on the business. The medical journal recently published the results of a scientific analysis of more than 15,000 penises, or peni, as I like to say, around the world. British researchers, hey, look at this penis, yes, now have a scientific answer to the question regarding normal length. Okay, you ready? Gird up your loins, you ready? Get it? Gird your loins, get it? According to the study published in the British Journal of Urology International, the official average length of an erect penis is 5.16 inches long. For those using space points, that's 13.12 centimeters. And 3.6 inches when flaccid.
This feels like a news story contrived to just make every man feel good.
I know. Or make us all very uncomfortable. I don't know which. That's interesting. That's not, I mean, look, I was never one to sit around with my buddies in my college years going, yeah, dude, big, long wiener. Like, that was never the conversation.
No.
However, you know, you don't know what the averages are. I don't know.
No,
and we're dealing with a generation raised on, you know, way too much naked people. And because of that, you don't have a good idea of what a real wiener should be. Mm-hmm. I am the worst person to talk about this. The worst.
What about, have they determined an average epeen size?
Only Terpster knows the answer to that. But here's my favorite part of the story. Okay. Why did researchers conduct this lengthy study? Well, to quiet men's fears about not measuring up.
Jeez.
All right, there's your story. I had to all get right. that one out. Saturday Night Live, back to SNL. They're bringing a format to the format to China, and this is not NBC doing this. This is China saying, we want to have our own. So they're making their own SNL, basically. So here's that. Online video site Sohu.com is teaming up with Lorne Michaels Broadway Video. Oh, they actually are teaming up. Weird. Broadway Video Entertainment to bring the Saturday Night Live format to China. We'll recruit comedians across the country in coming months. China's online viewership is exploding. 60% of the audience using smartphones and tablets to watch. Finding content to meet burgeoning demand has led to streaming sites getting into production, often by buying formats. SNL, which combines the best elements of live music and sketch comedy, will be a refreshing new option for Chinese viewers, Soho Entertainment said in a statement. No word on how they're going to handle the political comedy part of the format. Think about that.
Yeah, no kidding. There's so much. SNL relies so much on that. Having that in there. Which SNL staples, you know, characters translate well into China? Will there be a Chinese Wayne's World or a Chinese Blues Brothers or
oh my gosh, that's really funny to think about.
Pat? Will there be a Chinese Pat?
Except it'd be Chang or something.
Right.
Because Chang's like super right, non gender or whatever. I don't know. Like that's why I wonder about this is how do they It has to be their own thing. It has to adhere to certain cultural norms. It also has to adhere to whatever the government wants it to be.
Relevant. Yeah, exactly. Right.
I don't know.
It has to be relevant and also has to be appropriate. I cannot wait. I mean, as soon as the first one is available to see somewhere, anywhere with subtitles, hopefully, I cannot wait to watch it.
Oh, even in fact, I want to see it without subtitles at first and then later.
Sure.
I want the context because I want to see, like, I really want to see, is somebody going to go, in a van down by the river in Chinese, and I'm going to kind of get an idea that that's what they're doing. Like, I don't know. I'm very curious about this.
Right.
Very
oh,
curious.
My God. Yeah, this will be funny.
Motivational speaker.
Time will tell. We'll see. All right. TweakedAudio.com is sponsoring today's show with their 5 styles, 7 great colors, and all their stuff designed to sound great no matter what you're putting in there. I was just listening to some live NPR this morning on the way out to check the mail from yesterday. It's super cold this morning, 28 degrees, and I thought to myself, man, these earbuds are great because they're kind of fooling me into thinking that I'm way less cold and way more cozy with my usual listening habits than usual here. And why? Because these Tweaked Audio earbuds are designed for not only good quality, but in this case, my pair, for noise reduction. I couldn't hear the outside world. You could hit me with a car and I wouldn't even know. Compatibility with iPods, iPhones, Android phones, MP3 players of all types. It's all out there. Lifetime warranty on all of it. TweakedAudio.com is the place. The code is STREAM for a third off your price. That's STREAM at checkout for 33% off. When we come back, recommendals, Tom's Tech Time, a couple emails. And before all that, Brian would like to dance on your ears with this music.
How about some good old stripped down blues?
Right on.
Sound good?
Yeah.
This one's going out to Amber. She wrote in, said, hey, Scotch and Bitters, my 21st birthday is on March 4th, and for the last 2 years, I've sent in requests for my birthday, and I thought maybe the third time was the charm. I'm sorry, Amber. I don't know how we've missed it.
Yeah, weird.
The song I'm requesting is a Tom Waits cover by my favorite indie band, Dub Nub. This is also the guy who helps fly the Millennium Falcon into the center of the Death Star.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
They have a small album of Tom Waits covers, but I thought Gin Soaked Girl, while not thematically appropriate for my life, was at least appropriate in title for the occasion. Hug the Slow Bro, signed Amber.
Oh, Slow Bros everywhere. Appreciate that.
That's right. Yeah. Well, happy 21st, Amber, and thank you for listening. This is a free download. If you go to DubNub, that's DubNub.bandcamp.com, you can actually download this whole album for free. Mm-hmm. It's a 3-song EP covering Tom Waits. And if you dig this like I do, and it is, like I said, some stripped-down blues, stripped-down female-fronted blues, which I love. It's Dub Nub and their cover of Tom Waits' Gin-Soaked Girl.
I got belt full of you and leave it full of stuff. Now I'm gonna get out and I'm gonna get tough. You can lie to me. I just crossed so low with some gin-soaked girl.
introduces the appealing taste of baked potato skins in a crunchy new chip.
New potato skins got baked potato appeal because they're made with potatoes and skins that are real.
The Keebler elves make new potato skins with real potatoes and real potato skins for a flavor with old baked potato appeal.
Cheddar cheese and bacon, sour cream and chives, tasty baked potato, you won't believe your eyes. They're made with potatoes and skins that are real. New potato skins from Keebler, baked potato appeal.
Damn, the man don't even know if he's been in bars tonight.
You dump the morning into the stream, and there are many flavors that you can get. This is the morning stream.
All right, we're back. Hello. Welcome back. Yeah,
I love that potato skins.
Nice. The skins that are real. Like I feel like I was getting ready for high school listening to that.
Yeah, weird. You can totally sing along with that one.
Really weird. Okay, we're back and it's time for all the other things we do.
Great.
Yeah, the other stuff. Let's get Nicole in here first and get some recommendals on because that's one of my favorite things in the whole world. And here's your theme for it. Join us now in welcoming to the program one Nicole Spag. Hello, Nicole.
Hello, friends.
Oh, hi. How are you? You doing all right? You having a good Wednesday?
Yeah, I want to go back to bed, but,
me too.
Probably everyone else does, too.
I slept like poop last night. And here's the thing I got to say real fast. There's this drink some fans of the show recommended. In fact, I think they did it live in the chat room one day. And they recommended this neuro stuff that's like a good sleep aidy kind of drinky thing. And it's mango, which is fine. The flavor's fine. Tastes great and everything. And it totally works. I'm here to tell you that stuff totally poops me out, makes me tired.
Does it have melatonin in it?
It does.
Yeah, that's why.
Must be the right amount.
You don't need all the other crap. You just need the melatonin.
Well, it might be
the stuff tastes better.
Yeah, right? But there's some other stuff in there too that I think helps because melatonin on its own doesn't do anything for me. It's like when I just take like a supplement or whatever, even if I double up, it doesn't do jack. But for whatever reason, this stuff totally makes me drowsy. And that's great. Awesome. Mission accomplished. Here's the problem. Let's say it's 10 o'clock and you're trying to get to bed. You drink that thing down. It's like 16 ounces. Okay. Yeah, you helped yourself go to sleep, but you also helped yourself get up and have to pee five times in the night. It's kind of beyond me why that thing is what it like. Just give me all those ingredients in some tiny thing, like a pill or something. It's really weird. Anyway, it just seems so contradictory. So Nicole is here. As always, we do a little recommendal fun, and today we have a theme. It's where we recommend stuff from streaming services based on various themes. Today's is a cartoon that became a movie.
Yeah, I hate this theme.
I do too.
Warm.
Yeah,
yeah.
Bad theme.
Nothing is streaming, by the way.
Nothing good is streaming.
Yeah.
Even Popeye, which was there forever. Popeye's always been like streaming for a while, and now it's suddenly gone this week, and there's nothing we can do about it. So I kind of cheated a little.
That's okay.
But you know, we'll see how this goes. How do you want to do this, Nicole?
I have a clip for mine. Let's see if you can hear it.
All right,
I don't know.
Let's do yours first. Go.
All right. You hear it?
No.
No.
Damn it, Mark!
This is one of my favorite things about this, is that Mark changes something and Nicole cusses
and
him out.
I tell him, I'm like, okay, the audio will pipe through, right? Yeah, definitely.
I love it.
Are you seriously? You can't hear it
nope,
at all?
Nope, can't hear a thing.
Not hear anything.
Oh,
no.
Balls. All right, well, here you go, Scott. I'll just send it to you, and you can
Just Skype
play it.
Send that over Skype. Is this like a video or something?
Yeah, it's just a YouTube clip.
All right, here we go.
What are you doing? What are you doing? Come on. You never light a cigar that way. You use a wooden match. Preserves the flavor, you see?
Got it yet, Brian?
No, I mean, I recognize George Bluth's voice, but...
Yeah, you're right on that. There's a little bit left.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, quick hint. It is not... It's based on a comic book.
But there is an animated series.
There is. It came later, though.
Yeah, but...
After the movie, I mean.
Hey, I'm working with nothing.
I know. I agree. I cheated, too. I totally cheated. Wait to hear mine. So, wow. Any guesses,
no,
Brian?
No, I'm not getting it at all. No. Huh?
It's tell them there, Nicole.
It's Hellboy.
Oh, of course. Okay.
2004. You know what? Did you like the second one more than the first? I mean, I liked both of them.
I liked them both. I liked them both, but I think I like the second one more.
I did too.
Yeah, I'm always better off. I actually like the ones where they're not origin stories, and in this case, I think two. I also like two better because we were past that, you know.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy this series.
Oh, Hellboy's great.
Ron Perlman is like the perfect fit for Hellboy.
Do you ever read the comics, Nicole? Ever tried?
No, I haven't.
Oh, they're so worth reading. They're really, really good. Yeah, my daughter bought the whole, like, she's got the big collection thing because she's completely. It's her favorite comic series, and it's just. Really good, yeah. You'll read it and go, oh, of course they made a movie out of this. It's just like perfectly suited for this. And it does make me wish it was more on the regular. Like, you know, I feel like that was such an offshoot and kind of a risky project that it's never going to be like a Marvel movie where you're going to get a new one all the time.
Right.
Which is too bad because I feel like they could have had them more often and they could have played around with some more stories. And Ron Perlman's probably, you know, I don't know. He's in enough makeup. Maybe he could still do it. But
I was going to say, he could probably play that role for a long, long time.
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah, but Mike Mignola's artwork's awesome and all that stuff. Yes, go ahead.
Did you watch any of the animated series? Because those are really good, too. They were streaming for a while. They're not anymore.
Oh. Yeah, and those are Perlman voiced also, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're great. They're really good. They're low-rent direct-to-DVD in terms of, like, you know, you're not going to get Disney-level animation out of these things. But like a lot of that direct-to-home, like Marvel and DC stuff, it's really good. Like, high quality. I liked them. We bought one. We have something that we purchased. So even though it's not streaming, I think you can buy DVD versions of that, the animated stuff.
Yeah, like it was. That's how I watched them. They were streaming for a long time on Netflix. But the only thing streaming right now on Netflix is Hellboy.
Yeah, and there's just pitiful cartoon to live action examples out there. Yeah. It's just nothing right now. And it's funny because they've been there before. It's not like this is a, you know, I mean, the Flintstones was streaming at some point, although that's crappy, but you know what I mean? Like, there were other choices.
You don't want to recommend the Fairly Odd Movie?
No. Was that live action?
Yes.
Really?
I never saw that.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. Huh. Ooh, that must be bad.
Well, it's not. We're not really the demographic.
No.
No.
It sounds bad.
You know, looking at stuff like Casper and Richie Rich and Inspector Gadget.
My wife was like, you should just cheat and do like Thor or the Hulk or something. I said, no, those are from comic books. That's totally cheating. Mm-hmm. So Nicole went ahead and did one from comic books.
I did that. I had to. Well, I was not going to recommend G.I. Joe. Yeah.
It's funny because I actually put that in my Netflix queue thinking, you know, I'll watch a little bit of it. And if it's any good, I'll recommend it. And I just couldn't do it. I was like, you know, there's something way nearer and dearer to my heart than that.
I liked the G.I. Joe movies.
If Mark was here talking to you, he would be. He has those nostalgia goggles on for G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
I just don't have those goggles.
I have a pair of those goggles. They're a little rusty, but they work for me occasionally.
There were a few I looked for. I looked for like Aeon Flux, although I remember that wasn't very good either.
No, it wasn't. It should have been. It could have been.
The cartoon was great, but the...
It was okay. It wasn't that bad.
I tried to find, like, you know, even bigger, longer, and uncut, because that would have been a cheat because it's still animated, but I thought, oh, well, at least it's a movie. I mean, I really struggled. Like, I feel like I spent like 2 hours yesterday trying to dig up something. Well, here's what I ended up with, and you guys see if you can guess what this is from. So here we go. Hold on. Oh, come on, Scott. I'm in the wrong place. All right, here we go. Scott's pick for today.
So there I am on the lookout when out of nowhere, these high beams light up my rear view, and then it hits me. I'm illegally parked.
Another parking ticket?
Better, the boot.
Big metal tire clamp, impossible to remove.
Bingo! So the local police do their thing, and I let them get all the way down the block.
Local police.
Police.
So I'll give you a hint.
Is it The Rock?
That is The Rock.
Is it?
That is The Rock. It is not Speed Racer. And the other, it's kind of a cheat. Well, yeah, I'll see if you can figure it out. The cheat, I'll give you a hint. Note that there's a lot of car sounds happening. If that's any sort of help.
I know the Fast and the Furious wasn't a cartoon.
No, but that's that's a great idea.
It is a great idea, actually.
Yeah, I'd watch that. Animated Fast and the Furious. That's brilliant. And he is. The other hint is The Rock isn't in it very long. This is literally the only episode he's in. Oh, that's another
show.
That's another
TV
hint.
Show.
Yeah, it's another hint.
Well, see, you should have just led with this because we agreed that we're doing movies.
I know. I couldn't find anything. All right, I'll tell you what it was. So it's kind of reversed in like a couple of different ways. It's the newest, although it's only ran three seasons and is over now, but it's Transformers Prime, which is this awesome CGI animated Transformers reboot that started in 2010. And it's freaking fantastic. And brought back the original voices of not only what's his name? Main Autobot. What's wrong with my brain? Optimus Prime. Thank you. Yeah. And Megatron, Frank Welker. And they haven't done work together since the old cartoons, because in the movies, that's not Frank Welker. Anyway, it also has Jeffrey Combs, Brian. He plays the repair bot guy, whatever his name is.
He's been in Gotham lately. I love Jeffrey Combs.
Yeah, he's
his
awesome.
Delivery.
Nothing wrong with that guy. Anyway, it is really, really good and makes the movies seem like complete garbage because you can see how a real good Transformer treatment can happen.
Is this live action?
No, it is 3D CGI, CGI thing.
So boy, you really went off the, off the rails.
So here's what I did. I went from cartoon movie... Like the Transformers movie that showed in theaters from like 80 whatever, 87 or something. I went from that to modern day series on TV, 3D animated. Like it's totally a cheat across the board.
At least it's streaming though, right?
Yeah, it's all streaming.
Okay, there we go. So there's
Netflix.
And it's fantastic and totally worth everybody's time. So it is an actual good recommendation.
Looking out for our audience.
Yeah.
That's true.
Not much.
There are people who are harmed by those Transformers movies because they're crap. And they deserve something better. And this is better.
When I see somebody that has like a big like Transformer logo or like something on the back of their car and it was around the time of the movies, I'm like, oh,
I
feel kind of bad for you.
I know. And a lot of times people bought those ahead of time because they thought it would be cool to be ready for it. And then the movie came and they're like, oh, I besmirched my car forever. All right, Brian, it's your turn to see how you cheated.
All right. So, yeah, I did cheat. Although, here's the thing.
I don't think you did.
Can I stream it?
Yeah.
You can see the streaming on Hulu Plus. And it's really weird because you can't get to it by going to Hulu Plus and doing a search for it. You have to go to Can I Stream It? Or can I stream?
And get to it that way.
Weird. Yes. Weird. Yeah.
Go ahead and play the clip.
All right, here's your clip, everybody.
Does your dog bite? No. Nice dog. I thought you said your dog did not bite.
Is this Pink Panther?
It is, yes.
It's revenge, right? Revenge of the Pink Panther?
No, Pink Panther Strikes Again, which is, I think, the best of the series. There were, there's been a ton of them. The original ones were Peter Sellers as Inspector Clouseau, Pink Panther Shot in the Dark, Return of the Pink Panther, Pink Panther Strikes Again, and Revenge of the Pink Panther.
Yeah, Strikes is the best, you're right.
Strikes Again. Yeah, Strikes Again is the best one. 1976.
That's when I was born.
Wow. There you go. All of these, or at least all those original ones, were directed by Blake Edwards. And there was an Inspector Clouseau film that had Anna Arkin as Clouseau that came out in 1968. But then ever since, you know, the 90s, it's been Steve Martin.
There have been two of those, I think.
Yeah. The sequel is streaming. Mm. And I guess John Cleese actually replaced Kevin Klein in the second one. Son of the Pink Panther had Roberto Benigni of Life is Beautiful fame.
Mm. And,
Roger Moore was
standing up on chairs and
Roger Moore what
Roger Moore was Inspector Clouseau in Curse of the Pink Panther, which came out in 1983, although it focused more on Ted Wass, who played Danny on Soap, and he was Blossom's dad. As kind of the guy who was looking for Clouseau.
Right.
So bad.
That sounds terrible.
so bad. Oh. So really, do yourselves a favor. And if you wonder why Peter Sellers is regarded as this great, amazing comedian, it's these films and Being There, the Pink Panther series and then the movie Being There are the things you've got to go watch, and you will be just in love with Peter Sellers. But
incredibly interesting guy, that guy. Really is, and so
damn funny and such a man of a thousand faces. And even playing Clouseau, which himself is a a spy who's a man of a thousand faces after this Pink Panther diamond. Has so little to do with the original Pink Panther cartoon.
Wait, wait. Somebody in the chat room's correcting you. Captain Kipper is saying the Pink Panther cartoon came from the first movie.
What?
Oh, I you know what? I kind of remember hearing this.
The cartoon came first, actually.
I did too, but I think he's right. I think that this, someone's corrected me on this before, not on a podcast, but like years ago, where I always thought, oh, the cartoon came first and that the movies inspired the cartoon is now.
Oh, sure enough. Yeah, the character was designed the by was subsequently the subject of its own series of animated cartoons. Mm. So, wow, okay, well, yeah, you know, that's all right. It still stands as my recommendation because they're so good.
Dude, you did the least cheating, I think. I think you nailed it.
Wasn't that cheat.
Yours is pretty cheaty. It's a comic book.
How is it cheaty? There's a whole animated series on it.
Yeah, but that came after. But it came after the comic and after the movies. The movies came. See, this is another case where the movies came first, and then you got your animated
All
series.
All right. Well, yeah.
So maybe okay.
Right.
Here's the truth. If I'm being honest, I cheated the most. You guys cheated the least. No question about that. By the way, Peter Sellers died July 24th, 1980. Yeah. That must have been a kind of young age because he was only born in 25. That would have made him, what?
55?
That's young, isn't it?
It is young, yeah.
It is young.
All right, well, anyway. Oh, yeah, there it is, 54 years old. I don't know what happened to him, but that guy was a hoot.
He was
You
so
made
good.
Me want to get into, like, there's some cool documentaries about him. You're making me want to go down a rabbit hole just talking about Peter Sellers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and he's so good. And there was a Pink Panther movie made after his death that used bits and pieces of like outtakes and things like that from the earlier movies. And Lynn Frederick, who we just saw in that movie where the ants kill those guys in the desert. Do you remember that, Scott?
Yeah. What was that called?
She was the young hottie that...
yeah, the cute one. They were married.
They were married and she took a lot of his money, or took all of his money.
Yeah.
Like they were married for a couple months and she managed to get into his will. And she got millions, and his own children got bupkis.
Yeah, they got nothing. Wow. And she ended up killing herself.
That's right.
Is this a movie?
No. No. This is a true, sad, sad true story.
Sad truth. Yeah, true life. So yeah, it'd be a real sad
original
movie, too. But
that's right.
What is next week's thing? What's our...
Well, before I tell you next week's theme, I always like to mention on the show when I find new streaming services. Mm-hmm. So we talked about that. You guys were talking about how companies are starting to kind of cluster together, like, for instance, the comedy.
Yeah.
And then we had the Feeling, which was all like the family friendly movies and stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, now we have another cluster streaming service. And Brian, I tweeted this to you. I don't know if you had a chance to check it out. It's called Quello, Quello, Quello.
Quello. Okay.
.com. And it's really cool if you are into music. It's Quello Concerts.
Oh, yeah, I did see your tweet about this. I meant to check it out. I bookmarked it.
Oh,
yeah.
Look at this.
They had The Doors live in Europe. I watched that. They had that open. You can do a 7-day trial, check out. I mean, we're talking Janis Jop. I mean, just everyone.
Everybody.
So good, yeah.
Dude.
Like, the Gorillaz, you can see the Hall & Oates live concert that they did for their most recent cover album.
Duke Ellington, this is cool. Frank Sinatra, and then new stuff, the Everly Brothers, Elvis Costello, you just saw.
Mm-hmm. Sia.
This is Gaga's in here, like they're at the Doors. This is really cool, dude.
They have a really impressive library of concerts.
I hope that there's some way, these guys need if they don't already have one, they need an Apple TV app that I can just
Is this
going on
is this legal? I assume this is all legal.
Oh yeah, this is all legal. I mean, it's a pay service. What's the download? Yeah, you can get it on Apple, Roku, PlayStation, Amazon.
Oh, this is cool.
Fire.
Okay,
Xbox.
So it's
they
out.
Have it on everything.
So Brian, you're set. All the apps you
cool.
need. Done.
Cool.
Deal.
I'm in. I'm all
had
over.
No
it.
Idea this existed. This is really cool.
Yeah.
Look at this, Sade, dude. Give them sweet taboo. All right. nice recommendation. It's Quello. Q-E-L-L-O.
That's the best recommendal we've had today.
I agree. It's pretty good. Although that Transformers one, hell of a thing. All right.
Well, yeah, Peter Sellers is great. Okay.
All right. So I'm going to pull away from the list of themes, and I'm going to create our own because I really think this will be a good theme for us.
All right.
This is going to be live action movies based on novels.
Oh, that we can do.
Book.
Yeah.
Okay.
That we can do.
Because I just watched, I'm not going to recommend it because it's not streaming, but I am going to recommend it. I just watched Gone Girl, finally.
Mm.
Have you seen Gone Girl?
No. Yes.
No.
Oh my gosh.
Still haven't
now
seen
it. Now do you see, like, you know, I love talking to people about it. I won't say anything more, but or I won't give any details away. But Rosamund Pike just does such an amazing job, and you think bad actress at the very beginning of the film.
Yeah.
Like that she's just not doing it for me.
She's just good on the eyes.
And then
or
you
whatever.
Find out why she deserved to be among the best actress nominees at the Oscars.
Yeah.
I finally, Mark and I watched it together and I just looked at him.
I have no idea what this movie's about yet. I've yet
you
to be
need to watch it.
I've yet to be spoiled.
You need to watch
so.
It before you find out what it's about, honestly. Yeah.
I want to see it. So, I'm a huge Fincher fan. I don't know why I didn't see it in theaters, but I'll catch it.
Holy cow, Bill Patrick Harris.
Oh, yeah.
So
the one, that was one of the movies that I really wanted to read the book because I know it was better than the movie, but I just never got around. And I finally, I'm like, I gotta watch this movie before somebody spoils it because I've been avoiding it. Whenever I would see it, it was in Entertainment Weekly, Ignore. So, yeah.
Well, I'm in.
There you go.
So, movies based on novels.
Yes.
Perfect.
Okay. I can do that. I got, there's lots of choices there.
Yes, exactly.
If you want to find or follow more of what's happening in Nicole's life, you can follow her at Nicole Spag on Twitter. And the Recommendals Twitter account is still up as well that talks about
still
what
posting,
we talked about.
You know, if you miss the Recommendals or can't remember, go to recommendals.com and or the Facebook page too.
All right, now your job is to go chew out Mark for screwing up your audio.
Okay.
And we'll see you next time. Bye now. All right. Well, that was good.
Cool.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah. I just signed up for a 7-day trial for Quello, man. That's so cool.
That is pretty cool. Like, that's a niche that seems smart to me. For music
totally
lovers,
is,
you know, like you don't, I wouldn't have thought of that, which is usually when they succeed because I never think of these things.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to call Tom.
Okay.
And we're going to turn.
Oh, I hope Tom wasn't about to recommend Quello.
Yeah. Quello may have been the hot tech story of the
that
day.
That was just
for
like, yeah, exactly.
That's not good. Where's his thing? I always lose his thing.
With the computer, as with any tool,
stuff and the
man. Concept and direction must come from the man.
So the man in question is Tom Merritt, who is on the line with us right now, DTNS's own Tom Merritt. Hello, Tom Merritt.
Hello, Frog Pants' own Brian Ibbitt and Scott Johnson.
Hello. Nice Hello. To see you. Congratulations on your nomination for Best Tech Show.
Congratulations on your nomination.
Yeah, we got quite a few in the old extended Frog Pants family.
The morning stream in particular, right?
Yeah. Well, last year we got two chances and we won the one, and now this year they won't let us have that one again. But I guess
we won both. We won.
Well, no, we won them, but I'm saying they won't let us do that 2 years in a row. They won't let us
have the
what's the
oh is that
the,
right
the users or what is it listeners choice
people's choice
people's choice
ah gotcha
you can't be the people's choice
wait the people can't choose the same thing twice in a row
no,
I demand it. The people allowed to choose what they want
yeah it makes no sense obviously but yeah
no, I get it they don't want it to just end up being like it's like term limits
sure. Why not?
You know?
Although this is the first year they're making that limit, but yes, they decided 2015
well,
is the year.
Now you know how Truman felt.
See? Finally. I've been trying to know how he felt for the longest time, and now I finally have a way.
The buck stops with you, Scott.
That's right. See? So Tom comes on the show, talks about technology. There's always something in that vein happening and going on in the world, which obviously necessitates a great daily tech news show from Tom Merritt, which you can catch every day. But you sometimes are prepping and thinking, hey, here's something we're talking about, and here the TMS audience might benefit from it. So what the hell's going on?
Have you guys talked about anything out of the Game Developers Conference?
Very little. I mentioned maybe at the top of the show briefly to Brian about the Steam's new streaming device,
curse of the
$50
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steam has got the most nebulous announcement. Like, hey, we'll have a VR headset coming soon, and HTC already really announced most of it at Mobile World Congress, and also lights and tracking. Woohoo, Steam boxes.
Yeah.
But the most solid announcement I've seen, well, actually, I should give props to Sony for saying Project Morpheus, their virtual reality headset, will be coming out in the first half of 2016.
Yep.
We'll probably get like a lot more details about that at E3.
Yeah.
But NVIDIA announced the Shield, and if you're like, yo, I already knew they had a Shield tablet, Shield console.
Yeah, this is interesting because it's an Android-based device, if I understand it correctly, but it's a set-top box.
Android TV. Yeah. A very important difference because if you're like, oh, it's like, ooh, yeah, it's Android. This is Android TV. Android TV is the sort of spiritual successor to Google TV, and it is meant for the television interface.
Yeah, and the important part of this for gamers is that, you know, it's basically tapping into this craze of let's stream our video game content to other devices remotely, you know, remote play on freaking PlayStation and Vita, or in the case of PCs, you know, the Steam boxes, a lot of what they're doing, including the Steam Link, are designed to stream your games from your PC to your big screen television, play with controllers, whatever. This device will do all of that, plus all the cool TV features that a device like that would have.
Well, yeah, there's two announcements going on. There's the Shield console box, which will be $199. Mm-hmm. And that's got, you know, NVIDIA, I think it's Tegra X1.
Yeah.
In it. So it's got a nicely powerful NVIDIA ARM-based processor in there. They say it will be capable of streaming 4K, which is kind of it's a little bit of a red herring because lots of computers with processors can stream 4K, but they're sort of saying, hey, it's 4K ready. Mm. So whenever people start bringing 4K to the internet, you'll be able to do it on this, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, what you're talking about is the launch of the Grid service, which has been in beta for a couple years. A free version of Grid will allow you to pay for game rentals and purchases that you don't have to download to the box. You can just stream them to the cloud is what you're talking about. And then the paid service will let you do an all-you-can-play subscription model, and that will launch along with the console in May.
It's interesting because the PC or these other services that kind of came and went, OnLive, which, you know, was maybe the forerunner, yeah, came and then went and didn't do
and then
well.
Gaikai got bought by Sony.
Sure, Gaikai got bought by Sony. And so right now, the only real player that's doing anything in this market of note is probably Sony, because they have an actual service up and running with Sony now, and it's working, and you can, you know, rent and play all these old games, and it's something you can do right this second. Having NVIDIA, a pretty big player, get into that market is a really interesting play, and that means a lot to me. What matters more, though, is whether or not they'll like the old Shield, and I know this isn't a direct sequel to the Shield, obviously, but the Shield tablet, one of its big advantages was you could stream your PC games no matter where they were and no matter where you got them, you could stream them to the Shield and play them there.
Yeah.
I assume that that's all part of this as well to your TV.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then we're in.
As far as I know, you know, I want to double check. The announcement yesterday was rather vague, and depending on which article you read about it, you got a different take on it. They seem to have all kind of come around and done clarifications and fully confirm that. So it's not saying that in the Engadget article, but I'm not sure if it ever did.
It's a pure assumption on my part, just because it seems crazy not to. That seems like a huge value that would really set your piece of hardware not only in a competitive way, because the Steam Link thing is just that. It is a streaming box connected to your TV that would allow you to seamlessly stream all your games from your computer to your TV and do it for $50. That alone is worth it for me. But if you came along and said, hey, the Shield to do that plus all this other stuff you described, then that suddenly makes the Shield a real opportunity. So I, you know, I assume it will. It better do that. Let's put it that way.
Here we go. A Steam code and streaming access with many available for streaming the same day they launch. In addition, users with a GeForce powered PC, so that was the piece that I was looking for, can stream their entire Steam library to a Shield on the same network.
Oh, interesting that it's
so. Yes,
Steam specific.
You can, Scott, as long as you opted for a GeForce and not a Radeon.
Well, I did, so I'd be okay, I guess.
And it probably has to be a newer GeForce, I would guess.
Yeah,
old GeForce in the doghouse systems that I have been faithfully running for 5 years might not work.
Might not.
I don't know.
You're probably like a 460 or something. The new I have a 970 or something in mine, and I'm sure that one's probably compatible. But it's just interesting because, you know, I'm sure I think you even talked about it on the show maybe even a couple of years ago about how companies like NVIDIA have to diversify. They have to figure out other valuable services that they can provide. And Razer does this. There's others that are getting into this too, because you can't just forever be the video card company and expect a lot of growth. And so this, I guess, is a way they're hitching their wagon to their growth pattern.
Kretz in the chat room says he thinks it's GTX 660 and above.
Okay, so you're probably, you're probably hosed.
I would imagine so. I mean, I can't imagine that NVIDIA would say, like, all the graphics cards we have ever made in the history of NVIDIA will support this. So I think that's fine.
The downside of that, the only real downside of that is it is a limiting factor, because then you've got this thing where, you know, regular home consumers aren't going to go, now, do I have the right video card in order to make, you know, like, it gets complicated when you start having those kinds of things.
How much, that's a good question, is who is this really targeted at?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm a serious player of games, then I know exactly what GeForce card I have, and I'm going to look into that. If I'm someone who wants to play The Shield because I just want a cheaper console because I can't really afford an Xbox One, and maybe I think, oh, well, this is a more powerful processor than an Xbox 360, and then with the grid service, I can actually buy the same kinds of games. But I don't really care about streaming off of my PC. I'm not a big PC gamer anyway.
Yeah.
Then maybe it matters less. This is definitely not targeted at people who are just casual gamers.
Right. Sure. And then again, for those casual gamers, or people that just want a console that's less money than the mainstream ones or something, then this still is a pretty good deal, because the grid thing, and it being a, you know, Android enabled Android TV thing, is independent of any needing any kind of backup video card thing on a PC somewhere in the house. So you still have that part of it. So it's an interesting play either way. Like the Steam Box coming out later this year, the various Steam Boxes that Valve also mentioned this week, that'll be interesting, because those are really standalone consoles. There may be some streaming capabilities, but they're, you know, those are straight up also finished PCs connected to your TV, with it being a console in mind, with the Steam library being all that and whatnot. And if they can pull that off, really interesting fall this year. You know what I mean? Like VR, combine that with VR stuff coming out, all of Steam's initiatives coming together, them just announcing that the Source Engine 2 is going 100% free. Like, there's some crazy crap going
down. Well, yeah, all of the Source Engines are going free, right?
Yeah.
Like, that by the end of this week, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, all the major ones will be free. So we should see, I hope, an explosion of indie development.
Oh, it's going to be crazy. I can tell you, just as a father of a 14-year-old kid who wants to do this for a living, earlier this week, Unreal 4 goes free.
Yeah, yeah.
They get.
Can you imagine being like 14 years old and being like, "Huh, should I develop on Unreal, Unity, or on Valve?
Yeah.
Which free engine shall I develop
for?" Right, on his little $500 computer, is plenty powerful to run these things. He's already making all these demos. He's showing me his like shell of a FPS he was building yesterday in Unreal, because now it's free for him to use it in that way. You know, these other engines out there, Unity and others, are doing really well. They're not entirely free in the same way, but, you know, they have these different plans. But this idea that now Source 2 will be 100% free, which, by the way, people wondering how they're going to make that up on the back end, that's easy. Everything you'd build in Source will end up going through Steam, and they'll get money. Don't worry about it. They will make money.
Yeah, and that's the way Unity and Unreal work as well. They make the money off you selling the games.
Correct.
They're basically saying, like, yeah, free to develop on it, and then when you sell games, you owe us a certain amount of sales.
Yeah, and in Unreal's case, their deal is if it's $3,000 revenue made on your game or more, you pay 5% of the gross revenue.
In other words, if it's worth it for them to track you down.
Right. Basically,
then you owe them some money. If it's less than $3,000, then it's not worth it.
Yeah, in the case of Valve, though, with Source 2, it's interesting because they're not charging any of that back-end stuff. They just make it on Steam. So, because you're going to submit your games there, and you're going to
sell them.
Well, because
they have Steam. That makes perfect sense.
Sure. It's a brilliant move on their part, but also just such an open gates, everybody in developer moment, that I feel like we are going to see some serious good repercussions from all of this openness with these amazing tools that used to be so exclusive. I'm not that old to remember, maybe even just 10 years ago, that if you wanted the Unreal Engine for your game, $1.8 million licensing fee. Them's were the days when
I was 14. I don't know about you, Scott, but I didn't have $1.8 million.
I didn't either. In fact, I'm pretty sure I didn't have a pair of shoes that matched most of the time. So, yeah, it's a great time if
but
you want to.
That was the style back then.
If you want to be like making stuff in Maya and then moving it over into Unreal or Source or Unity or something, you're just having the time of your life. And I think it's an amazing time. So, very cool. GDC going on all week. Well, I'll have full coverage on the Boop Show on Thursday as to what we know so far, including some PAX stuff. So watch for that. Tom, anything else happening on DTNS today that people should be watching for?
Mr. Jonathan Strickland will be joining us today on the Daily Tech News Show. And, of course, he'll be covering the news out of GDC, some more news that's coming out of Mobile World Congress as that wraps up. And, of course, everything else that that pops up in the technology world.
Very nice. All other things can be found, of course, your new book at TomBarrettBooks.com. You can find Tom at where else? What else? East Detect on Twitter.
Let's focus on Citadel 32. That's the new attempt at fiction that I made, and I think it's pretty readable. If you doubt me, just get the free version. There's a free PDF up there now that you can download from archive.org and just take a look. But if you're like, no, I read Lot Beta. I know you're not half bad. Check out the Kindle version. It can be delivered right to your Kindle. You can get a print version as well. And you get the cover by Scott Johnson if you pay for that.
Sure.
And the book, just real briefly, is about a base on the moon that has been cut off from Earth after an apocalyptic scenario. And then there's another storyline on Earth in a post-apocalyptic world. And you sort of see how these two stories are going to intertwine.
You're talking our language. Sounds good to me. And of course, we'll be on Carrot Geek later this week, and we'll probably talk about that at length again. Tom Merritt, everybody. Take it easy, man.
Yay. You too, y'all.
See ya.
Vote Tom every day.
Oh, yeah, we were going to bring that up. I forgot. I guess we talked about it at the top.
At the beginning, yeah.
That's true. It was so long ago, I forgot. No, that was you get me on GDC week or whatever. I get so stoked about this stuff. I can't even explain it. I haven't even talked about this so much, but Nick is he is over the moon with having access to this stuff freely. Like, he can make anything he wants.
Wow.
And he's learning crazy things and built a little racing game.
This is a great time if you're a kid, a teenager, you know, trying to figure out what you want to do, but you know it wants to be video games and.
Sure.
So many directions you can go.
Or even a brilliant 25-year-old who just doesn't have the resources, and now suddenly it's all so accessible. You just get
super
in and go.
Easy. Yeah, exactly.
That's great. All right, we got a couple of quick emails. I'll tear right through these. Matt Bahn called in. Would you say Bahn? B-A-H-N? Bahn?
Yeah, Bahn.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Like the Autobahn.
He says, Nairby and Talk S. I don't know what that is. Oh, it's like Brian.
It's backwards.
Okay. Oh, is it?
Oh, Scott.
Nairb?
Nairb.
Yours works. Mine doesn't. Tox?
Ugh. I don't know if mine works, but okay.
He put the capitals and it threw me off. He says, I'm a new listener to TMS. He's brand new. And okay. I'm really getting a kick out of the show. This is so much better way to drive for the 42 miles to Houston traffic or in Houston traffic on my way to work and from work every day than the usual stuff on the radio. Oh, thank you very much.
Aww.
One little note/question for you. Your theme music you open the show with every Tuesday. I think he's so new he doesn't realize that it's kind of random, but whatever.
Right.
reminds me of one of my favorite crazy Japanese games, Katamari Damacy.
Oh, yeah.
Is he talking about here? Let's play. He probably means this theme. It's probably that.
That's the one that probably sounds more like, the Katamari Damacy theme.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Here's the best part. He says, in a weird way, TMS is like that. Is like the Katamari of podcasts. Since you guys roll dang near everything possible into the show, from spiders to Star Trek to awesome cover songs. Love the show though, Matt. So
nice.
There you go.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, that's cool. I like the perspective of new listeners because we get into our groove and I never know how it's sounding to new people. You know, because a lot of times we cater to the base who've been listening since day one and we were inventing everything and they've been here for that ride. But a new guy comes in, he's like, "What the hell's going on?" You have to think of those things, and I'm not very good at remembering that. So it's good to have you on board. Jim wrote in, says, Dear Scoobs and Braggy. Jim here, he says, I was raised Catholic, and I've been practicing it all my life. One day I'll get good at it. Get it? Practicing, get it? I'm fairly versed in my Catholic faith, and I'm studying to be a Catholic priest, so I should be sufficiently knowledgeable in this area. At least I hope I am. In regards to your Catholic confession discussion on Monday, the online source you found was pretty spot on. A monthly confession is strongly encouraged. We Catholics strive for sainthood always in the way that we act and think, but we realize that we are not perfect and we need confession to steer the way for a new beginning for a betterment of ourselves. The priest is a vessel for the individual to, in a sense, spill the beans to. A priest is trained to never judge and always to offer confession to the person who's confessing. And if you watch a lot of movies, that includes Crime Bosses, Tony Soprano, right. And whoever else.
Yes.
Fun fact, he says, a sign of a good and humble priest is a priest who also goes to confession. To other priests, of course.
Of course. course.
It's like
if he went to just to regular parishioners.
Right. He's like Gabriel Byrne having his own psychiatrist in treatment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know Saint Pope John Paul II went to confession daily? Makes me wonder what in the world that holy man had to confess. A great man is always willing to be little, says R.W. Emerson. Anyway, hope you found this interesting and informative. I'll see you two at Nerdtacular. Oh, and I love the show, though, Jim.
Cool.
Well, Jim, it'll be nice to see you, dude. Yeah, I always like to hear the perspective of somebody who's in it, you know? It's so easy to, like, go to base all of your assumptions on TV and movies and things other people say, and you never really know what's going on if you're not there or in it.
But I do like his other point. Like, what would Pope John Paul II have to confess daily?
Well, I know what the Borgia guy did. Right. Like, what? I don't know. I mean, history has shown us a few corrupt popes, and they had plenty to confess. But I have no idea if John Paul II had
not
much.
Not that guy, though. Not that guy.
He seemed nice. He was the Pope Mobile guy that I always saw right
here. Yes,
I like that guy. I like the new one. The new one's cool. He seems pretty forward thinking for a pope.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I like that guy.
Francis. Yeah. Pope Francis. Yeah. I like Francis. Benedict too.
Yeah. He was very serious though. You will not go to confession more than 5 times a day.
Who was your favorite pope?
I don't know. I don't have a really favorite.
No. Yeah. Collect them all.
Yeah. I like the Borgia pope because he was horrible and made for a good TV show. But other than that.
It wasn't Jeremy Irons, was it?
It was him.
Oh, cool. Yeah. See, perfect.
Yeah, that was a good show.
I haven't seen the Borgias, but that's the only character I know, or the only actor I know is in there.
I liked it. It was a little soap opera-y, for sure. Like, there was some soap opera stuff going on, but hey, it's a period piece, and I'm in. That's what I do. That's it for the show. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Tomorrow will be Therapy Thursday, so get your emails in, themorningstream@gmail.com, for any therapy questions or other questions you may have. You can always use that. You can call us on our hotline, 801-471-0462, and leave a voicemail. Keep it short, interesting, might get played on the show. On Twitter, find Brian at Coverville, find me at Scott Johnson, and find the show at Morningstream.
Yes.
That's going to do it. Music?
Sure.
Oh,
sure.
Okay.
How about something going out to Derek? Good morning, Slumberjack and Beetlebum. Longtime listener from the start. And you need to bring back Ass Monkey and that stupid scientific study of the day.
Ass Monkey? Wait.
I don't remember us having something called Ass Monkey.
I don't either, but I remember the scientific thing, but I don't remember the Ass Monkey. Yeah. Someone fill us in the chat room while Brian tells about our song.
That's right. Daniel Pitts, are you still out there?
Yeah.
Keeping track? March 4th marks the day that I've been wandering the Third Rock for 38 years. A fairly uneventful number. Unless you're talking about pistols, then I'm special. Ba-dum-bum. I would like to formally request something a little off the beaten path. It's a heavier band, and I'm pretty sure they haven't done any covers. Heavy Southern rock with an amazing harmony. ASG is my Stranded on an Island band. If you can fit it on that Wednesday, that would be fantastic. If not, Thursday PM would be good too. Love the show, though. I dropped some Froyo on my Drobo because that hobo looked like Frodo. Signed, Derek.
All right, that may be the new champion. That's pretty good.
I dropped some Froyo on my Drobo because that hobo looked like Frodo. Very well done,
really,
Derek.
Good.
ASG. Peanuts stuck in my teeth from that delicious thing that I ate while you guys were eating fermented cherry in a bag.
I thought you were about to do like a fake swear word because you went, peanuts. And then you continued, but it sounded for a second like you were going to do like a Colonel Potter, like horse hockey or something.
No, I had a chunk of peanuts stuck in my back tooth, and I'd been trying to wrestle with it for part of the show, and it came loose just as I was talking.
Nice.
How about that for transparency, folks?
I like it.
This is ASG from their 2007 album, Win Us Over. It's not a cover, but it rocks. It is called Ballad of Richard Kay, and it goes out to Derek.
Come to part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
What's the matter, you chicken dick?
Whoa.